This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisen and Wong Xiaoning. It is 7.06 a.m. Thursday, the 17th of December. And in about 15 minutes, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Sivapalan Vivekaraja, co-founder and partner at Scale Up Malaysia on Punjana Capital, a new government agency looking into venture cap funding. We're also running a poll on the BFM Twitter account. What are we asking today, Roshan?
Well, we're asking, is it time for new Pakatan Harapan leadership? If so, tell us who and why. And right now, with about 20 votes right now, but more will come. It's only been 2 minutes. 50% say yes, 25% say no, 10% say it's time for a new coalition, and 15% don't care. And why we're asking this is because we're speaking with Warisan President Dato Sri Shafi Abdal at 8:45 a.m. today to find out the way forward.
Indeed we are. So do let us know what you think on the poll, a comment with your thoughts, and we'll be taking a look at it through the rest of the show. In the meantime, we are now taking a look at what's been happening over in the markets, where overnight in the US it was pretty mixed. The Dow Jones closed down 0.2%, the S&P was up 0.2%, while the Nasdaq was up 0.5%. What about here in Asia?
Asia closed yesterday predominantly in the green. Japan was up 0.3%, Hong Kong was up 1%. The Shanghai Composite bucked the trend a little bit. It closed marginally, and I mean marginally, in the red, 0.01%. We can call that flat for yesterday. Singapore was 0.6% in the green, and the KLCI closed up 0.4%.
So for more on global markets this morning, we're speaking with Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank. Vishnu, good morning. Thank you for joining us. Now, the Fed has renewed their commitment to quantitative easing by continuing their bond purchases, but yet disappointed some bond traders over the composition of their purchases. Why is this the case?
I think, you know, this commitment from the Fed is nothing new. So this was already there in place effectively since June. So I think the 80-40 split, 80 billion per month, 40 billion per month split between USDs and MBS has not really thrilled, perhaps for two reasons. One is there hasn't been an expansion, which some might have anticipated, given that yields have USD yields have picked up in anticipation of the vaccine demand recovery. And secondly, there hasn't been an expansion of buying programs that covers a wider array of asset classes. I mean, these are perhaps not warranted, but I guess some parts of the markets were hoping for a bigger boost to stay in place.
Meanwhile, the US government has labeled Switzerland, and or at least has added Switzerland and Vietnam to their list of currency manipulators while keeping China on the list, on the watch list there. What are the consequences of this?
Well, I think there is no knee-jerk consequence per se, but it could lead to tighter monitoring, surveillance, as well as eventually some kind of a tariff response. So what has really happened is the Biden administration will inherit this current standing, as it were. But the point to note also is that at one point China was also named a currency manipulator and then promptly dropped after. So the risks are there, but the administration change makes this a little bit harder to digest at this point.
Now, Vishnu, US equities have bounced back after last week's decline. Is this a dead cat bounce or the beginnings perhaps of a Christmas rally? Are there good reasons to be wary of any rebound?
I mean, I think at the end of the day, the extent of the rebound will have to depend on two factors. One is market liquidity, just how much liquidity is out there chasing these assets. So as much as I hate to admit it, the liquidity function is at work. Also, expectations of demand recovery from the vaccine. And our sense is that even if it were a dead cat bounce, it may not falter that quickly because we anticipate more good news on vaccine to come through initially, with more approvals being granted around. Moderna has already been approved by the US regulators, so we expect that expansion to come through. However, there could be some circumspection on valuations at some point if the on the ground demand recovery does not keep up with reality, and we could also get some diplomatic tensions getting in the way once COVID is out of the way.
Speaking of demand and what the future could look like, or at least the virus cases, Vishnu, Japan's November exports fell 4.2% on year. Market expectations were for a 0.5% increase. Now, with the virus cases rising again, is Suga's first fiscal stimulus going to be sufficient to pull Japan out of a slump, or does the BOJ need to step in?
That's a very good question, Roshan. I think on the ground, what's happening is even with the vaccine rollout, the evolution and the proliferation of the virus during this season could mean that external headwinds could pick up again. And so there are two things to think about. One is the fact that in Japan's case, preparing for the summer's 2020 Olympics, plus the fiscal stimulus in place, that could buy enough buffer. But if we do get a much weaker US dollar pushing the yen much further up, that could create a little bit of a policy pickle for the BOJ. And the exact form of stimulus needs to be worked out at that point, given asset markets are fairly buoyant.
And Vishnu, let's also bring it back to here in Malaysia. How will foreign investors perceive us now that our federal budget has finally gone through parliament? Is this a good reason to be bullish on the ringgit?
I mean, there are many reasons to be bullish on the ringgit. So the budget passed and the implicit interim stability that it seems to signal on the political conditions will add to investor confidence that has come about from oil prices recovering. So these are the evolving positives in the dynamics. The lingering and backward-looking drag may be Fitch's downgrade and the question whether S&P will follow suit, though this is in a very backward-looking manner and one that doesn't sufficiently account for regional trends as well. So those would be the counterbalancing factors. But on the whole, forward-looking factors are pretty positive.
All right, Vishnu, as we go into the end of the year, or as we go into 2021 in 2 weeks, what are you particularly paying attention to on the economic side of things?
I think, on my end, I remain somewhat old-fashioned. So my sense of things is I'm quite happy with where policy settings are and where the fiscal bias is. They both remain quite supportive of the economy. But I think the tricky part would be to get the first order of things. It would be very difficult to get sufficient access for the liquidity measures and the credit measures across the economy. So the smaller corporates could still be, or the smaller firms could still be at a disadvantage. Rolling forward beyond that, it is to then discern and calibrate to see which part of the economy needs more support and to render it sufficiently while withdrawing other forms so as not to overheat or overextend debt. These are very tricky things to manage, and I think that could be one of those things making the recovery rather bumpy and keeping it uneven.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Vishnu. That was Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank, giving us a bit of a perspective on global markets and the bumpy road that we have ahead. He was also talking to us about the fact that the US government has labeled Switzerland and Vietnam as currency manipulators. And this is for the first time. And they're also keeping China on a watch list. I think, by the way, Malaysia is also on this watch list. Having removed the manipulator label from China in January, the Treasury urged the country to improve transparency, especially of its central bank's relationship with the state-owned banks.
Yeah, the manipulator designation has no specific immediate consequence, I think, as Vishnu highlighted earlier to us as well, beyond any short-term market effects. However, penalties include exclusion from the U.S., from U.S. government contracts that could be applied after a year unless the label is removed. The U.S. Treasury said that the two countries had held their currencies lower to prevent effective balance of payments adjustments, and in the case of Vietnam, for gaining an unfair competitive advantage in international trade.
Well, like you all said, right, Malaysia is also on that watch list. So it's nothing new. I think occasionally US does put different countries on the list for different reasons. But whether it has any impact on our currency for this moment doesn't seem to be the case. If anything, we should be removed because over time, the US dollar has weakened in the last few months against the ringgit. If I'm not wrong, Roshan this morning is what, 404 or 405 thereabouts?
Somewhere thereabouts. I don't have the Bloomberg open right just yet. But yeah, let me get that number for you.
it has very little consequence, but I guess maybe just, I guess we have to just monitor the situation. And like y'all say, do things change when Biden comes to power? Do things change when Janet Yellen comes into the power? All things that we'll be observing very closely nonetheless.
Absolutely, because the change of administration, the period that we're in, is going to herald some changes in the US. Roshan, do you have that number for us now?
Yes, I do. It is at now 4.0505. It's a nice little number there. It had made me look twice.
All right. And right now we're about to head into some messages. And up next, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Sivapalan Vivekaraja, co-founder and partner at Scale Up Malaysia on Punjana Capital. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.